Welcome to Influential She, the podcast about accelerating the influence of women in the world.
You will find us to be a fresh voice in an old conversation.
And here we are, your amazing co-hosts, Deb Soholt
and Mel Schopp.
Well, hi, everybody, and welcome to this episode of Influential She. This is our conversation where we're working to help accelerate the influence of women in the world. I'm your co-host, Deb Soholt.
And I'm Mel Schopp, and we're just so excited to be here today with a great guest. And, you know, it's interesting because today we're going to talk about the high leverage practice of connection. And the reason I think this is such a perfect HLP for you, Megan, is that it's a connection that you made with my daughter is the reason that you're sitting here today because of that great connection we have. And we're going to talk a little bit about to you about that and some other connections you've got. But Deb, you know, connection is one of those high leverage practices where I think people boil it down into this really simplistic thing was like, oh, God, I just got to get a lot of friends on all my social media, got to go to a social event, hand out business cards. But it's a lot more than that, right, Deb?
Totally. And I think, you know, one of the things that we've thought about in this is that it's a connection of authenticity, that it doesn't even have to be a very long-term thing, but it's how progress moves forward, how people become influential is in how effective you can be at ICU. Like ICU really, and this isn't just with people that we like, but this is people that we don't like as well. And making an authentic connection that can really be felt at the heart level. And I think sometimes because women are so intuitive, and you know, we talk about that in BioU, Mel, that there's so many biology reasons for this intuition of women. It's not just something that we should talk about, but it's actually a very real thing that exists within women. And within that intuition, many times we shut off our heart space in trying to connect with others in a very real way because somehow we've been taught and educated that that's not cool. That's not something we're supposed to do. We're supposed to stay in the lane of this professional networking and buzzing around a room and just trying to connect, if you will, with as many people as we can, but it's not an authentic connection. And that is where real influence starts to happen. I'm so excited about our guest that you brought in through a connection and a relationship with your daughter. But wow, we have quite a guest today to really highlight our high leverage practice of connection.
Yeah. So Megan Pepinelli, as I alluded to, met Megan through my daughter. And Megan, you were previously living in Tucson, Arizona, when the two of you met. But I think what's so fascinating, the reason that I got to know you is Heather kept telling me, you just cannot believe what Megan's accomplished in her life. So I was just looking today at your LinkedIn profile and oh my gosh. I mean, you have a degree. Can you tell us what your degree is, first of all?
I have a PhD in immunology and microbiology with a focus in virology.
And I would say that you're probably in a pretty tiny elite percentage of people in the United States, number one, that has that in particular as a female. Secondly, you know, currently, I mean, you have all these amazing professional jobs you've had in your life. And so, like, did you wake up one day and say, I am going to be a clinical instrument specialist for some company I can't even pronounce? And here you are. Tell me, how in the world did you get there? Or was this just always it? But I think your story is kind of cool about your little pathway there.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely did a non-traditional path to get to where I am, for sure. I started out actually as an art student who just so happened to take like a biology course of anatomy, just to study anatomy for drawing, and kind of realized that I actually liked it on a different level than I thought I would. And it kind of blossomed from there. But I didn't start off at like some Ivy League college. I didn't start even knowing what I wanted to do necessarily. So I went to a community college and then ended up with a degree in biology, transferred to a four-year school, was doing some credits there. And I was like, I want to be an MD. And then I kind of realized after following some MDs around that I do not want to be an MD pretty quickly. And I kind of realized that my passion wasn't necessarily to, not to say that MDs just push pills, but I wanted to do something beyond just prescribing medications. I wanted to help discover them. I wanted to put my, you know, mind to use for people who would need it. So I ended up getting into research and really liked it. So long story short, I got a PhD, then I did a postdoc, and I ended up working with transplants in my postdoc. And I wanted to know beyond like the scientific level, I wanted to know like who were these patients? Where were these cells coming from that I was using? So that kind of led me down the path that I'm at now. I wanted to follow my passion, which was really helping bring medicines to patients in need, whether that be directly, indirectly.
I love your curious mind. That just intrigues me because you really have this curiosity about, you know, wanting to know more about. I mean, even when you talked about wanting to know the transplant patients, I mean, that's the first piece of connection. What inspired that, do you think? I mean, that to me is just really intriguing.
It's a funny story. I literally was in the lab pretty late one day and was processing cells that had come in. And I just thought, like, is this exactly what I want to do? Where does this sample come from? This is more than just a bag that we got from the hospital. There's a person on the other end of this. And is this the best way for me to use my skills to help the person who's on the end of this? Because that's what I really wanted. So I ended up kind of making some additional connections with a student who actually was doing some rotations, and she introduced me to the coordinator and they let me come in because that's not traditional for someone who was in my position to do that. So they cleared me to do that and I started following them around.
So, I mean, I just want to make sure our listeners understand what happened here, because this is not a traditional lane of connection for the work that people like you do. And coming out of the healthcare field, you know, it's like, as you're talking about, there's a bag of cells and then, you know, just stay in your lane and manage the cells and do your thing and understand the immunology and the virology and like what's happening with this transplant. And so for our listeners that don't know anything about this world, it's really about trying to understand how do these cells connect back to a person with in a transplant situation. But for you to then make that leap into, I really want to know the full circle of this situation. Can you talk to us about that a little bit more? Because it's really unusual.
Yeah. So typically in the path that I've gone down, you get a PhD, you do a postdoc, you become a professor. And that's what traditionally you are told that you should do. And I just began to notice during my time as a postdoc, when I was supposed to be feeling like I wanted to become a professor, that that is not what I really wanted. I definitely wanted to be able to make more of a connection to the actual person who would be receiving a treatment. And even within my lab setting itself, I found myself not being able to connect with the people that I worked with because I just could not get on the same page with them when it came to the expectations that we're all supposed to want at that stage. So for me, the making a connection to someone that I didn't even know, which would be this essentially patient from these bag of cells, was really groundbreaking for me. It really pivoted my career. It made me realize that I want to do something different, and that for me, connection led me to what do I want to build my career on kind of track, rather than what should I be expected to do.
How did you make that leap though? Because that's, you know, you just don't say, oh, this is what I want to do. So tomorrow I'm going to go apply to do X, Y, Z. I mean, you make it sound so simple. Because I'm not sure I always had that focused vision about that. You make it sound simple. How did you make that happen? Because that couldn't have been easy to do.
Oh, no. A very crappy process where essentially you have to look internally to figure that out. You kind of have to sit down with yourself. At least I had to sit down with myself and say, what are the fundamentals of who I am? What are the fundamentals of what I want to become? And how do I connect that? So if I'm doing something, do I enjoy this? Why do I enjoy it? Why do I not enjoy it? And being able to just listen to your internal voice that says what is good and what is bad. Because one of the main things is, I mean, since we're born as women, we're told what to do by society, period. No matter where you look in your life, you realize that, oh, society has told me that I'm supposed to think this way. Or society has told me that I'm supposed to become this person or do this thing because that's what we're told and programmed to do. And to fight back on that was really uncomfortable. Just like it was very uncomfortable to be in this lab setting where I'm supposed to want something that I don't want. That disconnection was very hard for me. And it was abundantly clear that everyone else also felt that disconnection as well, because even the person I worked for was like, you don't seem to really want to be here. You're not hardworking. Like all of a sudden, this person was saying to me all these things that I had never heard in my life. I had never been told that I wasn't a hard worker. So it was almost like I had to sit back and think, is this real? Is this actually a valid point that this person is making? Or is this like kind of like the universe's way of saying you kind of need to pivot here? Like really think deep down as to, you know, what are you actually connecting with and what do you not connect with?
Okay. So this is like so fascinating when you talk about this idea of the connect and the disconnect. So here you are, and I think about you, your first part of your path of like, I was an artist. I loved to think in abstraction. And then I wanted to connect to what the reality of this was, not to just have it be a one-dimensional bag of cells, but I wanted the artistry of the connection, that whole picture, the abstraction. And yet you talk about such an incredible disconnect. So you're connecting stronger with yourself and yet disconnecting stronger from other people. Wow, there had to be a lot of difficult feelings moving through that. Megan, talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. So that's very uncomfortable because you feel like, again, you're supposed to be doing something and it just does not feel right. It intuitively feels wrong when you're doing it. So it's very uncomfortable and it's just not something that we're programmed to do, even as women, to think to ourselves, do I actually want this? So, I mean, there's no special magic to it. It's really just, for me anyway, it was really just sitting down and saying what feels good and what feels bad. And just because something feels bad doesn't mean that it's not right. Doesn't mean that it's not the path you're supposed to either move away from or move towards. Because things can be uncomfortable, but in a good way.
You know what, Megan, I've thought about this. I bet there was people from the outside, though, who thought you were crazy, because here you had this ultimate, you know, you had achieved this degree and this, you know, there's some status around what you had done, and then you got this amazing job. Was there also pressure, I mean, not just from the people you worked with, but from people who knew you well and say, why in the world can't you just be content where you're at? Or did you not, or did that not happen to you? Because I think it's tempting for people from the outside to look at you and say, she's got it all. How was that? How was that received when you started to kind of search yourself?
So it definitely, for me, was I got a very good postdoc position, which is like a carryover position between when you get your PhD. It's like a residency, like an MD would do. And it's a position where you want to make sure that you work for someone amazing. And the person that I worked for was like one of the top people in the field. So it was a really great position to get with a really good person to work for. And I thought it was going to be amazing. I moved across the country for it. And then I got there and I was like, this feels good. It feels good. This doesn't feel good. And then it became uncomfortable. And I was like, why don't I want to work all these hours? Why don't I want to go to the lab? Why don't I want to run these? Why am I no longer excited? And in those uncomfortable feelings where honestly, I mean, you cry a lot and try to figure it out. I mean, let's just be realistic with ourselves, you know, and you just have to like, I tend to let myself feel whatever is needed. If I feel uncomfortable, then that's okay. If I feel great, then that's also okay. Both things need to be looked at as to why I would feel those feelings and that connection.
You know, I just think about, you know, in hearing you talk, and you're really early on in this podcast laying out some vulnerability, Megan. I mean, I think so many people get so buttoned up, and Mel and I have talked about this quite a bit, that, you know, there was all these expectations of role that we're in, and we become so buttoned up and this facade of kind of how life is, and yet we're not living a whole authentic self all times, because it's like, yeah, I feel like shit right now, actually. And I'm gonna step up and I'm gonna do what I have to do. But I am a human being that has all these other things going on in my life. And then you couple that with, I think that line that you talked about, there's all kinds of people that tell you what you should do and what you should want. And tell us a little bit more, because you said, you know, I got all these degrees, I did a postdoc. Now, the academia ivory tower is the thing that I'm supposed to want. I'm supposed to want this intellectual inquiry space where I'm deeply embedded in, you know, this teaching ivory tower and going up in the ranks of publishing and yada, yada, yada. And yet, I see myself wanting to know the people behind these cells. Talk about what that was like for you.
Yeah. So just like you said, essentially, at that time, you are expected to go into this ivory tower and chase after this specific thing. And it's actually considered, even by some of my friends at the time, to be bad to want to go into what we call industry or anything that's different from essentially the ivory tower. And for me, something I realized really during this process too was all of these expectations that are placed on you are all because of other people's experiences and what they have gone through and the expectations that have been placed on them that they then place on you and how they view the world. So at the end of the day, it's like, how do I view the world? And it can be something very simple as to how you view the world as well. Like, what do I view the ivory tower as? I mean, I've never really been someone who's like super into following the status quo anyway, to be honest. So I do like to push the envelope with certain things. Yeah. And I think that that's good. I don't believe necessarily in always following rules when it comes to things that society tells you that you're supposed to do and want. So living in the uncomfortable is good sometimes. Like, that's where you grow. And that's where you learn the things that you do and do not want. And there's no magic. Like, I don't have any special words to say or magic as to how you do it. Like, it's just like a really crappy process that you take step by step. Like, it could be as simple like, why am I not enjoying this activity I'm doing today? Oh, okay. I used to like this. Now I don't. Okay. So what do I not like about this anymore? When have I outgrown the thing that I'm in? And it's time for something new that will light me up and excite me. And sometimes the exciting things that light you up are not always like fun. They're not always fun. And they're not always positive. I don't subscribe to that idea either. That idea either of everything has to be positive.
So I just love what you've been talking about. This, it's really this whole, I have to disconnect to really connect. And just that, the honesty of how uncomfortable it is. And so I think that's where Melody and I have been really interested in this idea of connection as something much deeper than, you know, networking and, you know, work in a room. Because it really is about, if you want to deeply connect, you're probably going to get uncomfortable along the way. And so that thing about even connecting with your feelings about this, like I'm going, oh, well, I feel flat. I don't feel excited. I don't feel passion. Like, I'm not connected to what, and come on, let's get real. I mean, every pursuit in life has some drudgery to it, because that's just how it is. That's, you know, there's trench work in everything, yeah. But in the container, if the connection isn't feeling like it's inspiring me somewhere at the soul level to like get up in the morning and to move forward, and it doesn't even have to be PhD in virology and everything that you've got and, you know, working with cells. It's just even a connection with family and friends and work, but it's a connection that more often than not fires you up. And if not, you've got to be really courageous. And sometimes that courage doesn't feel good.
No.
It just doesn't.
No, so, it definitely doesn't.
It's so, tell us a little bit more about what you're doing now. Like, how did you pursue that? I want to follow the cell. And, you know, what are you up to?
So that decision was a path that I almost got put down, but I already kind of knew I needed to be on. Like, I automatically knew that we do contracts when you have a postdoc position. Every year it's renewed or it's not renewed. And it was coming up in a couple months, and I already knew that I essentially did not want to stay where I was. This isn't what I wanted. I definitely wanted to transition. And I mean, I've never been let go or fired or anything from anything in my life. And when I walked into the PI's office, they were like, yeah, I don't think I should we're not going to renew your contract. We don't think that you should be here. And I'm thinking to myself, I don't want to renew my contract. I mean, I'm here to also say, I don't want to renew my contract. I think that's the best decision you've made. That's the best decision for me. You know, sometimes, again, things feel horrible, but they're the right path for you. So I just started looking for things that sounded like they would fit what I considered what I want my life legacy to be. And that is to help bring really good treatments to patients, whether that be in the position that I'm in right now, or if I'm any kind of other position I might have in the future, that will always come back to how can I help facilitate bringing good treatments to patients. And as long as what I'm doing in my life aligns with that passion, then I'm in the right place and I'm doing the right thing. But it's not like I just got there in a day. It really, that whole entire event in my life of, I mean, the whole experience was horrible for me. It's not like I enjoyed pretty much any of that experience, to be honest. But I grew so much in the fact that it was so uncomfortable. And it felt horrible at the time, but it was the best growing experience. And it really did show me where I needed to go. So in the position that I'm in now, what I do is support a platform that makes cell therapies for patients. And I help go into different customer and client sites and help scientists bring their science onto this instrument to help make cell therapies. And for me, that aligns perfectly with my passion to help bring therapies to patients. So it's been a really good experience so far. Yeah. Once I started following around the transplant team, it was really cemented too when I saw this one patient whose leftover cells I actually got, but she got the transplant patient, obviously, got the treatment of the transplant, and seeing her family just say, we're so excited because she moved her arm a certain way today after she got the treatment, because they had so much hope for her actually making it through and beating, you know, cancer and all that. It was so powerful for me, even though I didn't know them. I don't even think they realized that that was happening, obviously, in the room, because it was all internal for me. But I was just like, this is what I want to help do. I don't care what kind of physician I have to do this, but I definitely want to make this kind of stuff happen. So
that's amazing, Megan. That's just a great story. So I'm going to pivot on you because there's something that we talked about. I think it's so critically important that we share and that we bring up, because in all of this journey, you've talked a lot about what we sometimes refer to as the imposter syndrome. And I think we've all experienced it. We've all lived it. But explain how within your life and within the way that you were operating, where you really, you know, how did... explain that to us from your aspect, because that's it's a big piece that I think a lot of us have experienced, but we don't talk about a lot because it maybe feels a little uncomfortable to talk about sometimes, or own or admit.
Absolutely. I completely agree with you. I mean, I'm feeling it right now as we're talking on this podcast. Let's be realistic. I
mean, yeah, right.
And you guys are talking about how amazing my career path is and everything, and I'm having imposter syndrome as we're sitting here. So it's not like it's something that's new. I mean, I just feel like since we're almost born, it's just something that as women we deal with all the time. As to society says, you should be this way, you should be that way. Well, am I really smart enough? It's like when Dad was talking about how I have a PhD and all this work and everything, but at the end of the day, I think to myself, am I even smart enough to have earned that PhD? Am I smart enough when I go into an interview? You know, will they actually see that I'm intelligent, or did I accidentally, you know, get this degree? Like, you think all these crazy wild things while you're, you know, especially during the interview process, you think all these crazy wild things because especially if you're passionate about what you want to go into and you really want that, it can be very intimidating. But I mean, I don't feel like there's ever been a point in my career where I did not feel that. But I also feel like in some ways that tells you that you can be in the right room. It's just like being in a room full of people who are all smarter than you. It's the best place to be. It's a place in which you will get the most growth and learning, but it's also the most uncomfortable place for you to be as well, because you feel like an imposter in the room. Like, how did I get in here? But at the end of the day, that's how you grow and how you learn.
Well, and Megan, like, okay, so I do think that this is something that has been a difficult transition for women in all of these workspaces is I belong here and I have the credibility to be here and I'm smart enough to know what I don't know. And I think like that's one of the biggest keys is like, I don't have to know it all and I know what I don't know and I'm comfortable to be vulnerable and share that. I'm okay to be in that space, but I also know what I know. And so when you're into, all of your immunology and virology, and I think about you're also, when you're deeply connected to who you are, Megan, and women that we're talking to that feel this too, when you're connected and you maybe almost feel like a weirdo because, and which can feed the imposter syndrome because you're like, why am I thinking like this? Like, why do I want to be where the people are saying this little cell therapy, not little, but you know, this tiny thing changed this person moving their hand. Why do I want to be at that level of connection where I see that full continuum of outcome? That happens to be your passion. And I've seen this a lot with women holding and putting it, hiding this greatness because they feel I'm just not in the right lane. Like I'm not connected with what traditionally everybody thinks should be done here or how I should behave or how I should act. I'm a mutant. So that must make me an imposter. Right? And so, yeah. And yet it's really a significant level of greatness. So Megan's work, she is so far out there that it's made her feel like an imposter and it's made others think, you don't have a good work ethic or some crazy thing because she is in this space of connecting with something holistic and completely different. As women leading something great, we're not encouraged. We're rather let's cap you down. Let's make you easier. You're kind of
explained to sometimes.
Let's explain this to you.
Yes.
You scare me. So it's incredible. So how would you talk to others about, I mean, you've been so humble and gracious about, well, I just kind of had to work it through and like wasn't very easy and you know, you just make it seem like, but you got to follow your passion. But yet you've got this wicked smart side of you, Megan. I mean, to have attained this level of degrees, you've obviously thought about this a little bit on what would you tell other women about how to start traversing this ground of connect and disconnect?
I would say that one of the first things too that I started doing was having conversations with people that I didn't agree with as a way to actually start to think about how certain things made me feel. So I would purposely have a conversation with someone that I knew that I would not agree with. However, during the conversation, I would work on finding essentially a point of agreement with the person. So that way I could find a point of agreement with myself. When you're having an internal conversation with yourself, you're essentially having a two-sided conversation with yourself. You're saying to yourself, well, I'm supposed to think this, but I feel this. And those are disconnected. So it's like having a conversation with a stranger where you guys don't necessarily connect with each other. So I just said, okay, well, I don't feel connected to this certain firm, this certain thing. Why do I feel this way? And then the pros and cons of each. And then, I mean, I wish I could give you like a magic potion as to essentially how I did it. But essentially, it's just like an internal conversation. of two people that don't agree. Something that society tells you you're supposed to be doing, or you feel like you are supposed to feel. But why do you feel like you're supposed to feel that way? It usually has to do with what everyone else told you you're supposed to be feeling about that thing. And I mean, I still feel that every single day during every other conversation. Like, it's not something that you just learn to do one day and you know, grow into this person who can do this. It's like a daily exercise mentally that you have to do with yourself. I mean, it's as simple as, like, why do I want to buy this pair of jeans? Do I actually like those pairs of jeans? Or is it because someone else on, like, Instagram or something showed me those pairs of that pair of jeans, and now I feel like I'm supposed to want that pair of jeans? I mean, it's the same thing a little bit how, you know, I don't necessarily fully agree with the whole idea of traditional, like, getting married, having kids, all of that kind of thing. It took me a long time to realize, like, that's okay. It's also okay to be single as a woman and not feel like you have to be in a relationship all the time and things like that. Knowing that you feel completed by yourself so that you can be in a relationship with someone else. Same thing can go for work. Understanding who you are to know what kind of job you should have. Which also comes from a place of privilege, because not everyone has the options to do these things.
Yeah, Megan, I wish that I had been as wise as you.
Right.
Not only at your age, but I wish I was as wise as you right now.
Right.
It's like, yeah, you know, it's interesting because I don't know if we ever really find that complete wholeness. I don't care what the age is. So I don't think it's specific to that. I think you stated it well. It is a constant journey, and it's a constant reflection, and it's a constant way in which we need to have those internal conversations and then make up our mind how it's going to be that we're going to be, you know, and maybe it's not always being content. Maybe it's always having that little bit of anxiety along with acceptance. And maybe acceptance is way more important, because once we get there, that's when we finally know that, you know, that we do have some choices. You know, there are choices along the way, and it's just a matter of taking them. Megan, I guess you gave us your words of wisdom. Is there anything else you'd like to add? Because I just feel like you've really, I know you've made me think really hard and have made me even feel better about some of those uncomfortable moments I've had. But what else could you tell us before we have to wrap this thing up, which I wish we didn't have to?
I guess one of the main things I would say is, as women, we are enough. You are enough if you're having, you know, the shittiest day. You are enough if you're having an amazing day. You're enough if you feel like you are not in the right place. All of those things do not define who you are. And that sometimes you just have to realize, like, life is a journey. I know it's cliche and it's corny, but at the same time, like, the goal, I hate the question, for instance, where you see yourself in 5 years. I have no idea. I'll be 5 years from now. I have no idea. And I don't feel like planning that is necessarily the best thing. Sometimes you need to just figure out what you want really deep down. What do you want? Even if it doesn't mesh with what everybody tells you it's supposed to be. So I just say you should listen to your inner diva. Listen to that. Listen to your inner soul. Listen to that girl, that woman. And I mean, you are definitely enough. That's what I'd like to end on, I think.
Wow. Okay. So, you know, Megan, you've really defined, you know, what we're talking about in connection to accelerate the influence of women. That it's really about, the first connection is with you.
Yeah,
and all
your
its
internal connection.
Messy and uncomfortableness. And if you connect with yourself, then you're able to authentically connect with others. And to hold and stand your ground when it gets messy and really tough. I mean, when you were in those spaces of being with people that were telling you, you know, we don't think you have a very good work ethic, you know, I'm sure that just knocked your socks off in trying to, like, what? Like, what are you talking about? And to realize that connection is their uncomfortableness in connecting with you really expressing your amazing passion. And it's not you being wrong. It's them not being able to accept and take it. So Megan, we just, you know, I can't thank you enough for just coming on our podcast and letting yourself be so vulnerable. I mean, many times it's just so hard to lay yourself bare on something that's going to go out into the world. But I just applaud you on your ability to stay courageous on behalf of yourself and to really see the larger connection that's on the horizon between all of these things of the good that your intelligence and talent can bring to the world by being on your path that's connected deeply to you instead of what's connected deeply to someone else. Those someone else's can influence what's going on in your life. It's information to consider other people, but at the end of the day, it's our life to live, not how other people think that we should live it, and our ability to connect, not what they think your ability to connect should be. And in all of its messiness and really greatness, you've just helped us to really highlight this high leverage practice of connection that Mel and I have been talking about, which is way beyond working a room and passing out some business cards. And so to you, Megan, thank you so much for being on this podcast. We want to say to you, we see you. And we see you in all your magnificence and just look forward to all of the cool things that are going to come from this work that and path that you're on, and just applaud it. So thank you so much for being on our show.
Thank you both. It's been great to be here.
So, and to all of our listeners, we're just so thrilled that you would tune in to Influential She. We've been getting all kinds of great feedback, and we hope that you'll continue to tell us what's on your mind. We like to leave you with a little bit of a thought. And on this podcast, it would be about where are you at in connection to yourself? Not even thinking about connection with others in the world, but is your connection to yourself one of complete and total reverence and just really being in awe of this wonderful goodness that you can bring to the world? Because that is where your influence is really going to accelerate. Thanks again, everyone, for tuning in to Influential She. We hope you'll do it again.
Thanks for tuning in. If you enjoyed our podcast, we'd be so jazzed if you rate us on whatever app you use to find us. And hey, be sure to tell all your friends about Influential She.
And please visit us at InfluentialShe.com and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn. And you know what? If you come up with a new one, please let us know. In the meantime, remember, stay influential.